We're holding on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, three lines from the bottom. We discussed the question, can you use an animal as a wall of your sukkah? We said there's a machloikas, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. Reb Meir says no, Reb Yehuda says yes. And Reb Meir had said a general rule that that living creatures can't be used as walls for the sukkah, as well as a few other things where you need a lechi or a wall or something resembling a wall, and also not a goylo for a kaver. So usually a goylo of a kaver has the tumah of a kaver, if you tame a person who touches or carries or overshadows it, magamasa and ohel. Rashi here and in many places explains that a goylo is a cover of a coffin. Tosfos says rather that a goylo is what you use to close up the kaver, so in modern terms it might be something more like a matzeva. Whatever the case, Reb Meir had said that it can't be used as a goylo for a kaver, which implies, in other words, that it can't be that it can't become tummy as a goylo. We're going to discuss later why. And we had Reb Yisak really saying you can't write a get on it. So now we were discussing, focusing on the part about sukkah. Why does your mayor say you can't use it as a wall for a sukkah? So we brought two reasons. One problem is the animal might die and fall over, and then you don't have 10 tefachim, then the carcass is not 10 tefachim tall. And the other possibility is it might run away. So we got to the point, in the discussion that let's say you have an animal that's tied over there in place. So it can't run away, but it could still die. So now you have the two opinions. So Reb Zera, who says that the problem is only that it might run away, he holds that the possibility that the animal might die is not enough of a possibility to worry about, that you shouldn't be able to, or that Reb Meir should be saying that therefore you can't use it as a wall for a sukkah. Whereas Abaya, who had brought that reason, Shema Chomos, he holds that, you do have to be concerned about that the animal would die. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Va'ikar ravcha de beni beni, three lines from the bottom of Chokim Olam and Aleph, Va'ikar ravcha de beni beni, don't you have the space in between the animal's legs? So in other words, you're okay, leaving aside, but fine, the animal's tied in place, so it's not going to run away, and according to Reb Zera, we're not concerned that it's going to die. And according to Reb Yehuda in general, you're allowed to use it as a wall. But you have space between the animal's legs. We learned in the first parak that if you have a mechitza that's more than three tefachim off the ground, and it's three or more tefachim off the ground, then it's possible. Well, according to Reb Yosi, we said it's kosher, but fine, the halacha is not like him. So what do we do with that? The answer is, d'ovid lebohutz of a dafna. The answer is, we fill that up with, we make a woven fence over there of hutz of a dafna. Hutza means palm leaves. Dafna means laurel leaves. It doesn't mean dafna those, of course, but I guess those were the typical kinds of things when you needed to make a hedge or a temp or a makeshift fence in the times of the Gemara. Those would be typically the kinds of things you'd use for that purpose. So you do that over here. You take some hutza and dafna, some palm leaves and some laurel leaves or whatever, and you weave kind of a mechitza between the animal's legs. So that way, that space is filled up. Okay. The question is, v'dumo rova, fine, even if you're not worried that the animal is going to run away, because it can't, it's tied, and according to Reb Zera, within Reb Meir's opinion, and apparently according to Reb Yehuda, we're not worried that it's going to die, but don't you have the problem that it can crouch down, and that it's going to be less than 10 tefachim tall? So the answer is, d'mesicha ba'ashli mila'el. The answer is, that what you do is you tie it up with ropes from above. So that takes care of the dying problem either. That takes care of the dying problem as well. Now, even if the animal dies, then it's not going to sag down because it's held up by the ropes. So now it can't crouch down, and it also, even if it dies, it's not going to sag down. Obviously, you're not going to leave it like that for the whole 7 days, but again, we said yesterday that according to the Chachamim against Reb Eliezer, which we're going to talk about later in the parak, you are allowed to build a sukkah temporarily. We did talk about yesterday the question of whether a sukkah that's not rory for 7 days is kosher. And we said that Reb Yehuda had said that not. But fine, in this case, the sukkah in principle is rory for 7 days. You just may have to replace a wall partway through. So therefore it can be fine. Okay. So now the question becomes, Ulamanda Omagzeda Shematomos, Honami Mesicha Ba'ashni Mila'el, nu, we said before that according to Abaya, the problem is the animal might die. So, why, if already we're getting to the point that we're saying that you have, that we're talking about that the animal was being held up by ropes, then why is there a problem of Misa anyway? Then you're gonna have a Mechitza Ten Tefachim, whether the animal is alive or dead. And the answer is, the answer is sometimes it could happen. Let's say you make your sukkah only exactly 10 tefachim tall, or let's say you so what if you have an animal that's only just over 7 tefachim tall? So you put it over there to be a wall for your sukkah. But what are you relying on? You're relying on level. Because the animal is 7 and a fraction tefachim tall, the top of the animal's back is within 3 tefachim of the schach, and therefore lavud. But it could happen that you put it over there like that. You intended to rely on lavud, the kibbutz de maisa. But then what happens when the animal dies? Fine, it's held up with ropes, but still kavza. It's still going to shrink in size a little bit. It's still not going to be the full size it was before. The lava daite, and then he's not going to realize, and he's going to be sitting in a possible sofa. So according to Abaya's understanding of Rameyer, even if the animal is tied in place, and even if it's held up with ropes, we still don't want him using it as a wall for a sukkah because the animal might die. So in other words, it comes out so far that what we're saying is that according to Rameyer, it's not that an animal is possible for a sukkah wall daraisa. Daraisa, it might be perfectly fine. Darabanan, we have these various concerns that it might die or it might sag down or whatever. Okay. So now the question is, me, Omer Abaye, the mayor, Chayish, Lemisa, Rabbi Yehuda, Loi Chayish, are you telling me, according to Abaye, that the mayor is concerned that the animal might die? Or in various other cases where we have to consider a possibility of death, that Rav Meir is concerned about it and Rav Yehuda is not, because that's what Abaya is telling us, that in this case, why can't you use the wall? Why can't you use the animal as the wall for the sukkah? Because it might die, and now we're establishing that die doesn't mean fall over, it just means sag down. But still, it comes out according to that. Rav Meir is concerned about that. Rav Yehuda is not. Therefore, Rav Yehuda is allowing you to use a wall, an animal for a wall of a sukkah. But we have something that ends up being the other way around. We learn in a Mishnah in Gittin, Bas Yisrael shenisas l'koyin. If a Bas Yisrael is married to a koyin, now we know that as long as she's married to him, she's allowed to eat truma. But then if her husband dies, then unless she has children from him, she's not allowed to eat truma anymore. So now v'holach b'ayla l'mdinas hayam. Suppose that her husband traveled overseas. And we don't know at this point whether he's alive or dead. Then she's still allowed to eat truma on the assumption that he's alive. So in other words, he has a chazaka of still being alive, and therefore she can rely on that chazaka and continue to eat truma. But on the other hand, we point out a contradiction from another Mishnah in Gittin. If a Kohen says to his wife, here's your get, but it should take effect only 1 hour or 1 minute or whatever before I die. So the case would be, why would he do that? The problem is that he might die suddenly, he might be in a different city. He doesn't want his wife to have to go through Yibum or Chalitza. So therefore he gives her this get in advance. But he makes it conditional that it should only take effect right before he dies. Well then, the Mishnah says, Asur alecha b'truma miyan. She's not allowed to eat truma right away, because any moment could be the moment before he dies, and then the get takes effect. So leaving aside for the minute what we were talking about as far as sukkah walls, first we have to figure out how we reconcile those two mishnayos, and then we're going to see how that relates to our sugya over here. So again, you have one mishnah that says that we're not concerned about misa; she can continue to eat truma on the assumption that her husband is still alive. The other one says that no, she has to stop eating truma right away because she because there's the concern that her husband is going to die shortly and the get is going to take effect. And Abaya answers it by saying that these Mishnayos are the opinions of two different Tanoim, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, where Reb Meir is not concerned, Reb Meir is not concerned about Misa, and Reb Yehuda is. So the first one would be according to Reb Meir, the second one would be according to Reb Yehuda. Now that contradicts what we said over here, because over here we're saying, as far as the animal for the wall of the sukkah, that Reb Meir, according to Abaya, is concerned about that the animal might die. L'chora, there's no particular reason to distinguish between an animal dying and a person dying. Either way, right now, the animal has a chazaka of being alive, and the person has a chazaka of being alive. So how do we reconcile? But before we reconcile, then we first have to figure out where we see that Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda address that point. Where do we see that Reb Meir is not concerned about Misa, and Reb Yehuda is? D'tanya, we have a b'raisa. In some places, the beginning of it is actually a Mishnah in the beginning of it is a Mishnah in Masech Tzmai, but the end of it with the Machloikas of the Chachamim is only in a Braisa. Although there are a few places in Shas where it is quoted by saying Ditnan, and the Ritzvah says, okay, when you have a Braisa where the main part of it is found in a Mishnah, then the Gemara can quote it with Ditnan. This Mishnah of Braisa is in like 10 different places in Shas. Halakeach yayin midein hakusim. If a person buys wine from kusim, so the kusim we know those were the goyim that were imported into Eretz Yisrael after the ten shvatim were taken into galus. There's the machloikas. There was the machloikas throughout the whole time of the second Beis Hamikdash whether they're geire arayas or geire emes. So one possibility is here we're talking. So Rashi says we're talking about over here before the Chachamim determine that they are Ovda Vedazara and that their wine is Osir. Tosfos says actually maybe not necessarily. Maybe even if we say that to begin with they were Geirei Arayis, they weren't sincere Geirim. Nevertheless, the fact is that it could be that when the Chachamim made a Gzera on wine of Goyim, the only wine that was actually poured for Vedazara is also Daraisa. Sam Yenim of Goyim, that we don't know whether it was poured for Avodah Zarah or not, is only also Drabbanan. It's very possible, Tosfos says, that the Chachamim only made that Zerah and made it not to apply to Kusim, because even if the Kusim are not true Gerim, the fact is they did abandon Avodah Zarah, unlike all the other nations. Okay, in the end, it turned out they hadn't abandoned Avodah Zarah, but that was only hundreds of years later. So it's possible that the Chachamim made a Zerah not to eat other foods of them, such as their bread, because they were cruel to the Jewish people and they tried to prevent the building of the second Beis Hamikdash, but maybe they didn't have a reason to ask for their wine. Tosfos says another answer could be, let's say that you're mashgiach on their wine, that they're making a batch of wine and you're supervising it to make sure that they don't touch it. And then, so it belongs to the kusi and you're buying it from him, but there's no problem of drinking it. Anyway, now the person is buying this wine from the kusi. Now, the problem is, let's say, that Shabbos has already started. Shabbos has already started as one scenario Rashi brings, or another scenario is he doesn't have cake, so therefore on Shabbos you can't take truma and meiser, but he wants to be able to drink this wine on Shabbos. Another possibility Rashi says he doesn't have any tohor kalim to put the truma and the truma's meiser into. Now the thing is like this. We know when you buy produce, or in this case wine, from an Amah Oretz, then the Chachamim made the concept of Dmai because many Amah Oretz, even though it's not a majority, but it's a substantial minority, that only take Truma, not Meiser, therefore you have to take Meiser Misopet. Here with the Kusim, it's even worse than that. The Kusim, we consider to be Choshud even on Truma. And the reason for that is, Tosfos explains, because even though the rule is, the Gemara mentions in some places, the Kusim were always careful with every mitzvah that it says explicitly in the Torah. Well, it says Truman explicitly in the Torah, it says Meiser explicitly, so why don't they do it? The answer is they do for themselves. But they hold, the Kusim don't hold of the concept of Lifnei Iver. They take the Torah at face value. They don't believe in most of Torah Shabbat Pass, similar to the Tzedukim. So therefore, they don't believe that Lifnei Iver, Lisitin Michshel, means that you're not allowed to cause another Yid to do an Aveda. They say that it means just simply, it means that if you have a blind person walking along, don't put a brick or something in his path that'll stumble over. So therefore, they have no problem selling you wine which doesn't have truma and maaser taken from it, and you're going to drink the wine and get an aveda. That's not their problem. Therefore, you have to take truma and maaser from it before you're going to drink this wine.
That's a bit Ever is min deraisa.
So you're saying
that they don't believe in Torah Shabbat Seh. Okay, but that's the deraisa.
Torah Shabbat Seh only says lifnei iver loisikin michshol. Let's translate the words lifnei iver in front of a blind person loisikin michshol. You should not put a stumbling block. So they say that's exactly what it means. You see a blind person walking down the street, don't put something there to trip it. Has nothing to do with it. They would claim it has nothing to do with causing another yid to do an aveira.
That's so hard to believe. I mean,
no. So that's that. So therefore, they don't. They don't see a problem with selling you wine that isn't meiser, that doesn't have truma and meiser taken, and the fact that you're going to drink it and then have an aveira is not their problem.
Well, they're so stupid. I mean, really?
That was their theology. They believed in Torah Shabbat Sav. They didn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, just like joking. Anyway. So again, Rashi says over here that the scenario is that either it's Friday night and he doesn't have, and therefore he can't take Truma and Meiser, so he wants to pre-designate what he's going to take as Truma and Meiser after Matzoi Shabbos and drink the wine meanwhile. Another possibility, Rashi says it might be talking on weekdays as well, but he doesn't have Kalim to hold him to put the Truma and the Meiser into it. Tosfos says that no, that if it was Friday night, that wouldn't work. Friday night, you're already not allowed to make these kinds of designations that we're doing. Rather, Tosfos says it must be, it's talking about on Friday, but it's very late in the day and there's not going to be enough time to actually take out the Truma and Meiser before Shabbos. By the way, Tosfos also points out another reason why the Kusim wouldn't care about selling you unmeisered and untrumed and unmeisered produce is because technically, really, when you sell to somebody else, it is potter from truma and meisers. So Adrabba, they might be following that. They might say, you know what then, if when I'm selling you produce, it's not required to have truma and meiser taken out anyway on a daraisa level, fine, so I'm not going to bother. I'm going to sell you the whole 100. If you feel like taking out truma and meiser, then that's your business. Okay. So now, again, so the question is, so what does he do now? According to Rashi, it's Friday night, or he has no kalim to hurt him. According to Tosfos, it's Friday afternoon, very close to Shabbos. In any case, he doesn't have the ability right now to actually separate out the truma and the meiser. So, Omer, so he can say as follows, Shnei lugim shani osid lahafrish, the two lugim that I'm going to separate, let's say after Shabbos, Harehin Truma, I am designating those Truma. Truma is 1/40th or 1/50th or 1/60th, depending whether you're generous or average or stingy. Here we're using 2 out of 100, which represents the average amount. Asora Maiserishin, then you say the 10 are going to be Maiserishin. Strictly speaking, on the face of it, it's not 10. It should be really 9.8 because you already you already designated 2 as truma. So most of the Mefoshim explain that the Mishnah or the Braita is just rounding off. It means 9.8, but we're rounding off to 10. There are some places where Tosfos discusses maybe there would be a reason that you should in principle have to do 10. What if after all the Kusi did take out Truma and then the Truma that you separated has no effect? But Tosfos says that no, there's no reason to assume that the Kusi will have taken out only Truma and not Meiser. If he's going to do the right thing, then he'll have taken out everything. And if not, then he won't have taken out Truma either. So fine, 9.8 or 10, rounding up to 10 for my submission. Tisha Meiser Sheni, another 9 for Meiser Sheni. Mechal v'shoisa miyad, and then he can mechal and drink the wine right away. What is mechal? So Rashi explains mechal as Meloshin Chilul. He designated 9 lugim out of this container for Meiser Sheni. Now, the truma and the meiser rishon and the meiser and the trumas meiser, there's not much that you can do with, because the truma you have to give to the kohen, and the trumas meiser eventually you have to separate out from the trumas meiser and give it to the kohen as well. But the meiser rishon you're allowed to drink because you don't know whether the kusi took out truma and meiser, and therefore if the lady wants it, I'm mechavela v'raya. But the meiser sheni, you're not supposed to drink it outside your shalayim unless you redeem it on money. So fine, at least he should redeem it on money, do whatever he can to make that that this wine should be able to be drunk without being over on any Isser, and then he can go ahead and drink. That's one explanation of Mechel. Tosfos here and in some other places discusses a couple of other possibilities what Mechel means. It can mean that he can right away begin to drink. Oz huchal likrei v'shem Hashem, for example, one of the meanings of huchal is began. So mechal v'shoyse miyad means he can right away begin to drink. So in other words, the point would be he doesn't actually have to separate out the trumas and the maestris before he can drink. He can drink right away. And then a third possibility that Tosfos brings in some places is that the word is not mechal with a ches, but rather mechal with a hay, which means to mix with water, like you have in the Haftarah of Shabbos Chazon, sovech mohol b'moyim, that your wine is mixed with water. So therefore, over here, mechal b'shoyse, he's allowed to right away mix the wine with water and go ahead and drink it. So the point is, all of that, divrei the mayor, so that's appointed a mayor who says that all of that is allowed. He's allowed to make those designations now, even though he's not actually separating out the Terumah and Maisus right now. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon Osrin. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon all say that it's Osir. And we're going to explain soon that the reason why they say it's Osir is because what happens if the container bursts open, if the container breaks before he has a chance to take the Terumah and the Maaser? Then it comes out that retroactively he drank Tevel. Because only when he separates out the Terumah and the Maaser, and then it comes out that what was left was Chulin. This is the concept of Breira, which the Gemara is gonna point out that angle on it soon. But right now, let's assume that they're all fine with using Breira in this case, but the fact is you still have that you still have the barrel might burst open, and then what he said, that the two lugim that I'm going to do, the ten lugim that I'm going to do and so forth, is never going to take effect. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda is one of the ones who holds that you have to be concerned that the barrel might break. Similarly he would hold then that a person might die unexpectedly. Rav Meir is not concerned about that. Similarly, he's not concerned that a person might die unexpectedly. Which brings us back to what Abaya had said before, to reconcile the two Mishnayos in Gittin about the case of a Bat Yisrael eating Truma, the wife of a Kohen eating Truma, where one Mishnah had said that she can, even though she doesn't know whether her husband is alive or not, and the other one says she can't. So Abaya had said the first one's appointed a mayor, the second one is appointed a Yehuda. Here we see that Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda hold that way respectively. Tosfos does discuss over here at some length an issue that maybe you do have to distinguish between whether you can talk about whether the person actually died versus whether he's going to die. So that might be a factor to consider. And the Gemara does bring that up in the Gemara. The Gemara does bring that up in Gittin. But here we're saying that it doesn't really make a difference. So we see that Rav Meir is not concerned about the barrel breaking or the person dying. Rav Yehuda is. Therefore, in the case of Alekeach Yayin Ben Akosim, Rav Meir is fine with him making those designations and only separating out the Truma and Maaser later. Rav Yehuda, together with two other Tanoim, does not allow that. That fit. So Abaya used that to explain the two Mishnayos in Gittin. But now the question is, in our case over here, it's the other way around, because Rav Meir is the one who's concerned that the animal that you're using as the wall for the sukkah is going to die, and Rav Yehuda is not concerned about it. So the Gemara says, okay, epoch. Let's flip it around. Rav Meir chai shlemissa, Rav Yehuda loy chai shlemissa. Let's say the other way around. Rav Meir is the one who's concerned that the person might die, and Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's not. So the first Mishnah that we said before about the Bat Yisrael and the Kohen would be now appointed of Yehuda, and he would say there's no concern that he might have died unexpectedly, therefore she can continue to eat Truma. And the second one that says that we do have to be concerned would be appointed of Meir. The Tanya, and in fact that fits with the original Braisa that we said, Asala Behema Dofen L'Sukkah, that if you used an animal as a wall for the Sukkah, Rabbi Meir posts over to Yehuda Masher. So fine, all that fits. But you're still left with Kasha did a mayor, I did a mayor. New, then in that case, what do you do with the contradiction between Reb Meir's two statements? If you're telling me now that Reb Meir is the one who's concerned about Misa, then he should also be the one who's concerned about the kiyas hanoid, about that the barrel or the wineskin might break before he has a chance to separate Truma and Meiser. And yet we said Rav Meir is the one Tana that says that you can take out Trumas and Meiser, that you can designate Truma and Meiser in that way. So how do we reconcile that? The answer is Amalach Rav Meir, Misa Shchicha B'Kiyas Hanoid Lo Shchicha. The answer is Rav Meir will tell you it's more common that a person or an animal might die without you realizing it, rather than that the barrel might break. Because with the barrel extra to muscle the shomer, what you can do is you can give it to a shomer to watch, and he can make sure, and he can make sure it's not going to break. In other words, it's not that common. It's just going to spontaneously break. Usually, if it's going to, you usually see that it's starting to get weak. It's starting to swell up or whatever. So fine, then the shomer can take steps to pour out some of the wine. But a shomer obviously can't prevent the animal from dying. So that's why with an animal as a wolf or a sukkah, now why we're saying the mayor is concerned about Misa, and the same thing in the Mishnayos and Gittin, he's concerned about Misa, but he's not concerned about B'kiyas Hanoid, because that you can have somebody there as a guard to prevent it. Okay. Kasha did Rabbi Huda or Rabbi Huda. Fine. What about the contradiction between the two statements of Rabbi Huda? And the answer is, where again, now we're saying, according to the way we figured it out now, we're saying Rabbi Huda is not concerned about Misa, and Rabbi Meir is. So Rabbi Huda is not concerned about Misa, therefore you can use an animal as a wolf or a sukkah, therefore the Bat Yisrael can continue to eat Truma. What about the case of the wine of the Kosim? So the answer is, time that Rabbi Huda lav mishum b'chayishim kiyas noid ela mishum b'les lebrera. You can give a different answer. Rabbi Huda is not concerned about that the barrel might break. What he's concerned about is the whole concept of brera. He holds that brera is not valid. What are you saying over here? The two lugim that I'm going to separate are going to be truma. So what does it mean, in other words? So at the end, when he finishes drinking most of the wine, and he leaves enough wine over for truma and meiser, he takes two lugim and says, this is the truma that I designated on Erev Shabbos. That's the classic case of brera. Can we say that those two lugim retroactively are the same two lugim that he was referring to on Erev Shabbos, or not necessarily? The mayor will hold that that's fine. Rabbi Huda will hold no good. So therefore, according to Rabbi Huda, in other words, it comes out that you said two lugim are going to be truma, but now you may well have drunk those two lugim, and the two lugim that you have now are something else. Therefore, Rabbi Huda is not going to accept it for that reason. So nothing to do with whether the barrel is going to break, and therefore whether a person is going to die or not. So the Gemara says, well, Rabbi Huda l'p'yas noid. Really, you're telling me that Rabbi Huda is not concerned about the barrel breaking? V'homid katoni sefer, the sefer of that same brisa continues, omru loy l'Rav Meir, that those three tanoim, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon, all said to Rav Meir, how can you allow such a thing? Don't you have to agree that there's a problem that the wineskin might split open, or the barrel might break, or whatever? V'nim tazeh shoset tivolim l'makreya. And then it comes out that the guy retroactively drank tevil. And Rav Meir says, I'm not worried about that. If it breaks, then we'll deal with it. In other words, it's not something that I need to be choshish to, because again, as we said before, you can have a shomer, you can have a shomer to watch it. So evidently Rabbi Huda is concerned about the barrel breaking, because that's what he and the other Tanoim are arguing to Rav Meir, that it should be also on those grounds. So what are you telling me that Rabbi Huda's concern is Breira? We see that on the face of it, he's fine with the Breira aspect. He just has a problem that you don't know in the end whether those two lugim and ten lugim and so forth are actually going to get separated out. The answer is Hosam Rabbi Yehuda Huda Ka'amal L'Rav Meir as follows. The answer is that in that case, Rabbi Yehuda is saying to Rav Meir, he's saying like this, Libi D, as far as I'm concerned, Lesbi Breira, I have my own reason that I would say that this doesn't work because I don't hold a Breira. Ela Libi Doch, but according to you, the Yesh Breira, fine, I understand that you accept the concept of Breira, you're willing to say that the two Lugim that he separates out at the end are the very same two Lugim that he had in mind to begin with,
Fine. But you have to murder the Shemi Ibaka Hamnoid. Don't you, according to your own Svara, have to be concerned that the barrel might break? And Rav Meir tells him, I'm not concerned about that. Because again, you can have a Shoyver. So Rav Yehuda himself is not actually concerned about Lachshei Baka. He's just asking Rav Meir, according to your own Shita, why are you not concerned about that? Okay. So now we seem to have reconciled everything. So now we're saying that Rav Meir is, is concerned about Misa, according to Abaya at least. So therefore, you can't use an animal for a wall of a sukkah because, as we said, it might die sometime during Yom Tov, and then it's going to sag down. Fine, we said it's held up in place with ropes, but it's still going to sag down a little bit and be less than 7 umashahu tvachim tall, and then you don't have a kosher wall for your sukkah. So therefore, the mayor is concerned about that and doesn't allow you to use the animal. Also, the mayor is being consistent and says that we're concerned about Misa in the cases of a Bat Yisrael with Truma, that for that reason, a Bat Yisrael who doesn't know whether her husband is still alive is not allowed to eat Truma, or that if he gives her a get shortly before he dies, then she has to stop eating Truma now because he might die anytime soon. On the other hand, Rav Meir is not concerned about the Kiyas Hanoid because unlike all those other cases, here you can have a Shomer to prevent it from happening. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda is not concerned about Misa. Therefore, he has no problem with an animal for a wall of a sukkah. Therefore, he has no problem with the Bat Yisrael, with the Bat Yisrael eating Truma. And when it comes to the wine of the Kusim, when it comes to the node, he's not concerned about the Kiyas HaNoid either. So it comes out nobody's concerned about the Kiyas HaNoid. Rav Meir is not concerned about it because you can have a Shomer. And Rav Yehuda says, if I'm not worried about Misa, then I'm not worried about the Kiyas HaNoid either. Rather, his concern is that you're trying to use Breira over here, and Rav Yehuda holds that Breira does not work. The Gemara discusses this issue of Breira in many different areas of Shas. In one place, at the end of Masechta Beitza, it talks about that what we can end up doing is, in things d'oraisa, we can use Breira. In things that are bonon, we cannot use Breira. So over here we're talking about Trumas and Maisris themselves are, Truma and Maisris themselves are d'oraisa. However, over here it's only a suffix to Rabbanon whether the Kursim have taken Truma from it. So therefore you might be able to do that. Anyway,
what's your halacha regarding Breira?
What's the halacha what?
Regarding Breira.
So that's what I was saying. The halacha is that we can use Breira when it comes to things that Rabbanon. We cannot use Breira when it comes to things that Raisa. We'll learn about it, Bez Hashem, at the end of Beitza, the next Masechta after Sukkah is Beitza, so we're gonna start it before Rosh Hashanah, Bez Hashem, and then finish it, and then continue it over Tishrei in the beginning of Cheshvan. So when we get to the end of it, there's gonna be a sugya about Breira over there, and we're gonna talk about Breira Daraisa versus Darabbanah. But in general, that's the rule. Most of the poskim say that we accept breira with things that are daraisa, but not with things that are banan. We accept breira with things that are banan, but not things that are daraisa. Okay. Fine. So far, so good. But the loy chayish Rabbi Yehuda l'misa. So you're telling me then that Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned about the possibility of misa. V'atznan, the first Mishnah in Yuma says Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Now we said we learned over there that the Kohen Gadol has to be married in order to do the Yom Kippur Avodah. And so we said that what if his wife dies in the middle of Yom Kippur? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer af isha acheres maskinin loy. Rabbi Yehuda had said we prepare in advance for him a second wife. Shema Tomus Ishtoi, in case his wife dies, and we learned in the Gemara over there a whole elaborate thing how it has to be done in order that he's not married to two of them, and he's married to only one at any given time. The point is, Rabbi Yehuda says that you have to be concerned that his wife might die during Yom Kippur, and therefore he needs an understudy, whereas the Chachamim are not concerned. The answer is Har Itmar Allah, Amar Avuna, Bered Rishua, Maila, also Kapara. Fine, but in that case, you know that Rabbi Huna Bered Rishua said, when it comes to the Kapara of Yom Kippur, the Chachamim made a Maila, the Chachamim made a rule over there that we wouldn't usually apply anywhere else because of the importance of the Kapara of Yom Kippur. So therefore, yeah, in that one case, Rabbi Huna is concerned about Misa, and the Chachamim say, even in that case, we don't have to be concerned about it. But other than that, Rabbi Huna is not concerned about Misa. Okay. So now, So now, continues the Gemara. So now let's get back to the primary thing which we were talking about, which is the case of an animal as a wall for a sukkah. Now again, in the Braisa, Rav Meir didn't just say that you can't use an animal as a wall for a sukkah. He also said that you can't use it as a lechi for a mavui. He also said you can't use it as passim for a well, the four pillars that we've talked about a few times and we learned about in Eruvin, that you can put around a well so that the Olei Regel can be able to draw water. And another point Rav Meir had said is you can't use it as a gerlo for a kever. Fine. We could understand Rav Meir to be saying that you can't, as in you're not supposed to use it as a gerlo for a kever, not necessarily that it has the din of tumah, not necessarily that it wouldn't become tumah. But the question is, elam after Rav Meir to tamim. Sorry, I skipped a couple of lines. Okay, according to both Abaya and Rav Zeira's explanations of Rav Meir, it comes out the whole point that we're not allowed to use an animal for a wall of a sukkah is only midrabana, because it might die or because it might run away. So it sounds like midaraisa mechitza malyahi. It sounds like daraisa, an animal, would be a perfectly good mechitza, provided, as we said before, that we put a fence between its legs, because otherwise you have too much space between its legs and the bottom, between the ground and the bottom of its body. The problem with that is, so we're going to say then that only the Rabbanon made a gzeder that you can't use a wall, that you can't use an animal for a wall according to the mayor because Shema Tomos or Shema Tivrach. The problem with that is Elamei Atzel, the mayor, Tami Mishum Golo. In that case, according to the mayor, an animal, if it was used as a golo, as the cover for a coffin according to Rashi, or the cover for a kever according to Tosfos, then it should be able to become Tomei as a golo. The concept that a golo is Metamei is Daraisa. And there, now, unlike the other ones, if we're saying the mayor is saying you can't use it as a wall for a sukkah, and you can't use it as a lechi for a mavri and so forth, fine, all of those are lechumra. So we can say, okay, lechumra, you're not allowed to use them. But here you're telling me something which it comes out according to the mayor is lekula. You used it as a golo, and yet it's not becoming tame according to him. So if according to the mayor, the whole problem with an animal as a machitza is only dirabanan, then it should be that it should become tameh as a gerlo, daraisa, and the chachamim can't take it away. But in fact, we learn in a Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda mitamah mishum gerlo in Eruvin, Rabbi Yehuda mitamah mishum gerlo, but a mayor mitamah. Rabbi Yehuda says that an animal that was used for a gerlo will be tameh, and the mayor will say that it's tahir. Now Rashi explains why didn't we ask the question from the Braisa, why are we bringing in the question from the Mishnah? So first of all, we would always rather bring a question from a Mishnah rather than a Braisa. But second of all, also, the Braisa never said that Rav Meir says that the animal is not tameh. Maybe he says, Ein osin osa, golo lekever. Maybe it just means you're not supposed to use it as a golo for a kever. But nevertheless, if you did, then it would still have the din of one, and it would be tamei. But now, in the Mishnah, in Eruvin, he clearly says that it's not, he clearly says that it's tahor. So now, how do we understand that, according to Abaya and Rav Zeira, who said that Rav Meir's whole reason is derabbanan, of course, can't overturn something daraisa. So if midaraisa, this animal is able to become a golo, and therefore, or be able to be used as a mechitza, and so forth, then how could Rav Meir say that it's not tamei? So we need a different answer. Ela Omer of Achav Yaakov. So rather, of Achav Yaakov says, never mind the whole question of dinim dirabbanan. The reason why Rav Meir holds that you can't use it as a wall for a sukkah is not dirabbanan, but rather daraisa. Which means that now we're deleting everything we said until now. We don't need to say, like we said before, to talk about whether a mayor is choshish for Misa or not. We could say, like we did originally, that a mayor is not choshish for Misa, and that's why he allows it in the cases in the Mishnayos and Gittin, and that's why he allows the Keach Yaini Ben Achosim. And over here, it's not a concern of Misa at all. It's rather there's a reason daraisa, according to a mayor, that you can't use an animal as a wall for a sukkah. And therefore that it wouldn't have any of the other dinim of a mechitza, including therefore that daraisa, it wouldn't become a gerlo. What is that reason? Rabbi Achav Yaakov says, Rabbi Meir holds any mechitza which stands only because of the air is not a valid mechitza. The animal stands over there only because it's breathing air. So therefore, so such a thing is not considered a valid mechitza according to the Meir. Ikadamri, another version, is Amar of Achva Yaakov, Kasavar Meir, Kol Mechitza, Shein Asur Yabidei Adam, Ein Mechitza. A second version is that a Meir says, any mechitza that's not made by a person is not a mechitza. Now, the animal is not made by a person. Now, it was brought there by the person, it is true, but it was brought there by the person, but nevertheless, though, the point is, Tosfos and Eiruvin, in this sugya and Eiruvin explained that according to this version, what Rameir means is any mechitza that a human being could not have made this thing is not a mechitza. Now, a person can bring an animal from one place to another, but he can't create an animal. There's an expression in the Medrash that says that even if all the wise men of all the nations would gather, the entire world would gather together, they wouldn't be able to create even the tiniest living. They wouldn't even be able to create a wing of a fly and then give it life. Giving life is only something that Hashem can do. So a person is not able to create a living animal. Therefore, that's what it means. Not that the person can't bring the animal there, but he can't create it in the first place. So, okay, two versions. One is that it depends on air, and the other one is that it's something that a person can't make. So the Gemara says, my benayu, what would be the practical difference between those two versions of Rav Acha bar Yaakov's statement? The answer is, ikka benayu, ja'okma benoid tefuach. What if he used as a wall for a sukkah, or any of these other purposes that we're talking about, what if he used a bag, an inflated bag? So he inflated a bag or a balloon or something, and then he's putting it over there. Lamanda, Oma Mechitza, Emetis Beruach, Eine Mechitza. So if you say it depends when it's standing up because of air, then it's not considered a Mechitza. Hare Emetis Beruach. Well, this one is standing based on air, therefore it would be puzzle, according to the Meir. Lamanda, Oma, Eine Asuya Bidei Adam. If you say that it's because the problem is it wasn't made by a person, Hare Asuya Bidei Adam. Well, this one was made by a person because the person blew it up, and the person made the original bag, and therefore, that would be fine. The halacha is not like a mayor anyway, so actually the halacha is you could use a balloon or something as a wall for a sukkah. I guess a better example nowadays might be like one of those bouncy houses that they inflate for kids to jump around in. In theory, I guess, if you were to put schach on top of it, you would have a kosher sukkah, as long, of course, as it has enough walls and so forth. Okay. Fine. Amamar, getting back to another point we said in the Braisa, after we finished with the mayor's opinion about what animals can't be used for, we said, Mishum Rabbi Yosagrili Omru, Afen Kosvinol of Gite Noshim. They said in the name of Rabbi Yosagrili that another din that applies to a living animal, you cannot write a get for a woman on it. So the Gemara says, my time is the Rabbi Yosagrili. Why does Rabbi Yosagrili say that? So the reason is the Tanya. It's based on the following Braisa. The Pasuk says, Sefer. Now, the Pasuk describes, a man wants to divorce his wife. The Chosav Loch Sefer Christos, he should write her a document of Christos. Now, the word Sefer usually means something written on parchment. So when it says Sefer, Ainli Ella Sefer, if you only had the word that it says he has to write her a Sefer, then you would only know that it's kosher if he writes it for her on cloth. Minayin l'rabes kol dover. How do we know that it includes that if you write on anything else, then the it's still kosher? For example, Rashi says, let's say on a wooden tablet or an olive leaf. How do we know it's kosher? Tamad loyma v'chosav loch mikol makim. Therefore, the pasuk says he should write her, implying that any kind of thing he writes on is fine. In effect, Tosfos says what the Gemara is doing is it's doing sort of a klal of kraft of klal. The chosav loch is a klal, meaning that it can write on anything. Sefer would be a prat, and then chrisos or venosan biyada would be the chos of a kolol would be the klal that anything that he can put in her hand. So therefore, it would be anything that's similar to a sefer. So im kain ma tamad loyma sefer. So now, why is it saying sefer? So that's the prat of the klal, the prat of klal. Loimaloch, ma sefer dover she'in meruach chayim. So number one, a sefer, a piece of parchment, is not alive. And number two, ve'ein oichel, it's also not food. So therefore, we learn from that, says Rabbi Yisraeli, that only something that fits those two criteria is allowed to be used for a get. So not a living animal. Okay. V'rabbanon. Now, what are the Rabbanon who say that you could write a guest on an animal. What do they answer to that? Now, by the way, the Gemara explains in Gittin, what you do have to have is that the thing that you wrote it on, it has to be not what's called mechusuk tzitza. It can't be, for example, let's say you write a get on a leaf still attached to the tree, and then you pull it off the leaf, and then you pull it off the tree. That would be possible. The same way over here, you can't say, for example, you're going to write the get on the skin of the animal, and then you're going to shech the animal and take off the skin and give her the skin. That would be possible. What we're talking about over here is, according to the Chachamim, that you would write the words of the get, the Hareat Muteris L'chol Adam, and the rest of the formula, on the side of the animal, and then you would give her the entire animal. So the Chachamim are saying that's fine. Rabbi Yosef really is saying, based on his Klal Prato Klal, that you can. So what are the Chachamim answer to that? How do they understand the concept? They say, because of Bas Sefer Kedekarmer. If it said that he has to write Bas Sefer on a Sefer, then you'd be right. A Sefer means parchment. So therefore, we'd have a Klal Prato Klal here, and we'd have to say that it means you have to write it on something similar to parchment. But Hashtag Ksiv Sefer, but it doesn't say that he should write her this Sefer Christus. It just says that he should write Sefer Christus. So the word Sefer over here doesn't mean a parchment at all. It just means that he has to write down the recounting, the telling over of what the get is all about. So the pasuk is not telling us anything about the material that the get can be written on. So now the other question on Rabbanan, the other question on the Chachamim is, Hai v'kosav my darshidei? What are they darshiding from the word v'kosav? Rabbi Yosef really is saying that the v'kosav is a klal, sefer is a prat, and v'nosan v'yodah is another klal. What are they doing with the word v'kosav? They're not using it for a klal. Now, by the way, Tosfos says, the fact is, we do need the word v'kosav to teach us that it has to be written l'shma. But there are actually two places in those psukim where it uses the word v'chosav la. So the question is, one of them we need to teach us that it has to be written l'shma. What's the other one for, according to the Chachamim? The answer is, miboy lahu. The answer is, they need it to teach us the ksiva miskareshes v'ena miskareshes v'kesem. That a woman can be divorced only with a get, but not with money. Let's say you could have thought that maybe he can give her money, l'shem geirushin, and say, hareat megurashes. After all, that works by kedushin, so maybe it should work by geirushin as well. No, it doesn't. Sakud anachamina, otherwise you would have thought, hoyova itkashi tzia lahavaya, you have a hekesh between the going out, the get, and the havaya, the kedushin, from which actually we learn a number of the dinim of kedushin from that hekesh. So you would think, Mahavaya Bekesef Akitsiya Bekesef, just like going in and becoming his wife, one of the ways it can happen is through Kesef. The same way that going out, being divorced, maybe could also happen through Kesef. So that's why we need Kamash Malan. Therefore, we need the word V'chosav La to tell us that not, a daf has to be something in writing. Rabbi Yosef really high svarim inolay knew. Where is Rabbi Yosef really getting that from? He also agrees, of course, that you can't accomplish deirushin with money. The answer is misafer krusus nafkalei. He learns it from the words that the pasuk says. Doesn't just say the safer. It's a safer krusus, a safer of cutting off. So therefore, the implication is Rabbi Yosef really says Sefer Kosa, the Ein Davar Acher Kosa, means that only a Sefer, only a written thing, and according to him, it means anything similar to a Sefer, because of the Klal, the Prat, the Klal, is what causes her to be cut off and divorced from him, but not anything else. So not money, for example. The Idach, what are the Chachamim going to answer to that? The answer is, Ahum Rebailah, the Davar Akhurtis, Beina Labeina. They say we need the word Christus to teach us something else altogether, that the get has to be something that makes a complete separation between him and her. Namely, Kedetanya, we learn in a brisa. Suppose the husband says, Hareza gitach amanas shleitishti yayin, here's your get, but it takes effect only on condition that you don't drink wine, or v'amanas shleitelcha levesavich, or on condition that you don't go to your father's house. So then, la'olam, if he adds to either of those, that you're never allowed to drink wine, or you're never allowed to go to your father's house, and that's the t'nai, ain't a krisus, then that's not considered krisus, and the get is possible. Because for the rest of her life, she's bound from doing those things, and therefore that's not Christus. There's still a certain connection between them. The Ritva talks, the Ritva and other Rishonim talk about, I mean, why can't you say, okay, when her father dies, then she'll be able to go to that house. Or for that matter, if he sells the house or something. So one possibility is that Itzvah answers that he says is you shouldn't go to this house of your father's. So that's going to be something permanent. As long as that house exists, even if that house collapses, it's still considered someplace that she can't go. Tosfos in a different place gives a different answer, that actually it can still be called her father's house even after her father died. And Tosfos brings a proof to that from the fact we have by Tamar in Parshas Vayeshev, where Yehuda tells her after Er and Onan, her first two husbands, die, Yehuda tells her, Shvi Almona Beis Avich, go to your father's house and live with an almana. Her father is Shem, and Shem had died a long time earlier. So we see it's still called his house long after he died. Anyway, so if he tells her that you can't go there throughout your, that you can't ever go there, then that's not Christos, and then therefore it's not a valid get. But Kol Shloshim Yom, if he tells her, for example, you can't do it for the next 30 days, Hareza Christos, then that's valid Christos, and therefore, so after 30 days, the get will take effect if she doesn't go there or drink the wine during the 30 days. So we see, therefore, that you need something that cuts them off completely. So Rabbi Yosef really is saying, and Rabbi Yosef really is saying that you learn that from the word Christos. The Chachamim, rather, are saying that you learn that from the word Christos. Therefore, I don't have the word Christos available to teach us, like Rabbi Yosef really said, that only a sefer can accomplish the divorce, nothing else. So the Chachamim say, now you have to learn that from the word b'chosav, that only a written document affects the divorce. The Idach, so what would Rabbi Yosef really answer to that? He also agrees with that din about the Tanai. The answer is Mikores Christus. He learns it from the fact the Pasuk could have said Sefer Kores, and instead it said Sefer Christus. So therefore, you can learn both things from it. You can learn, number one, that the get has to be something that completely cuts them off one from the other, and also that only a get can accomplish that, nothing else. The Idach, where the Chachamim would answer that, Kores Christus, like Darshi, they're not going to douse him like that. That it could have said Kores, and instead it says Christus. They don't hold like that. So therefore, according to the Chachamim, you have to learn that Drosha, Sefer Kosa, Veinach Kosa, you have to learn it from something else, namely from the word Bechosa. So therefore, they don't have it available for a Klala Prata Klala anymore, whereas Rabbi Yosef really does. So that's the bottom line, why Rabbi Yosef really says that you can't write a get on an animal, and the Chachamim say you could. The halacha is like the Chachamim, as it usually is, so technically you could write a get on the side of an animal and then give it to her, but again, with the provision that we said, that you'd have to then give her the entire animal rather than cutting off that. Okay. The Mishnah says, if a person builds a sukkah between the trees, so before, in the previous Mishnah, we talked about where, according to Rashi, the walls and the floor of his sukkah were resting on the tree, and according to Tosfos, maybe not those, but only the schach was resting on the tree. Here we're talking about none of the above. Here we're talking about that the schach is on poles, on a framework of poles, but he's using the walls, the trees are serving as the walls of his sukkah, ksheira, then the sukkah is kosher. Obviously, you can't have that the branches and leaves of the tree are going to hang over the sukkah. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about let's say you cut off the ones on that side. We're not dealing with that. The point is the trees can serve as walls for the sukkah. So the Gemara says, Omer of Acha Bar Yaakov. Now, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov tells us a general rule: Kol mechitza she'en yichol lamed beruach metzuya ein mechitza. Any mechitza that cannot stand without swaying back and forth in a normal wind is not considered a mechitza. So the Gemara says, Tanan, let's see. Our Mishnah says, we're saying that you can use trees as the walls of your sukkah. Don't the trees sway in the wind? And so the answer is, we're talking about hard trees. We're not talking about young trees that are soft and sway easily in the wind. We're talking about old trees, so they only, they're going to sway in a hurricane, but fine, you don't need a sukkah to be able to withstand a hurricane. So they want to ask, what about the branches of the tree? Those move back and forth. And the answer is, The answer is that we're talking about, like we said before, about the animals. You weave together with the branches. You weave in and out. Hutza and Daphna, well, again, palm leaves or laurel leaves, and that way the wind can't make it move. So Gemara says, Zihachi Maila Memra. Well, if that's the case, then what's the chidush? Of course you could do that. The answer is Maudatema, without the Mishnah having told us, Nigzer Duma Osilish Tamoshi Be'ilon. Maybe we were thought to make a Zera that you might come to use the tree on Yom Tov. And we said before that for that reason, a sukkah that was built on top of a tree, or the schach resting on a tree, then you can't use it on Yom Tov. Here you would have thought it's the same thing. Kamash Malan, therefore the Mishnah is telling us that there's no problem. So now we'll continue this discussion. We'll continue this discussion on Sunday, Be'ez Hashem. But just to point out, there is here we're saying that if it sways back and forth, it's not a valid sukkah. That comes into the question then of can you use a canvas sukkah? And it's not a new thing. I mean, the kind of prefabricated canvas sukkahs that we have nowadays are new, but in earlier times also they used sheets or things like that for walls of a sukkah. And the question is whether they're kosher. On the face of it, they sway back and forth. So one consideration is, are they tied down on the bottom? And it's just the middle of them if they're not tied down on the bottom and the bottom is flapping back and forth, then yes, you have, according to many poskim, a real problem. What they say you would have to do in that case is you'd have to put sticks or ropes within three tochim of each other around at least three walls of the sukkah, and then that way, then those count up to a height of 10 tochim, then those count as a wall on the grounds of Lavud, and then the fact that the rest of the wall is flacking doesn't matter. So nowadays also with the prefabricated canvas sukkahs or the pop-up sukkahs or whatever, there are some rabbanim that recommend that what you should do is you should wind some ropes around the poles within three tefachim of each other, going up to a height of at least 10 tefachim, and then that'll be the real wall. On the other hand, maybe there's not such a problem if they're tied down on the bottom and it's only they sway a little bit in the middle. Maybe that's not such a problem unless they sway, if they sway three tefachim, then you can talk about that as a problem. But if they sway less than that, maybe some poskim say that then there wouldn't be such a problem with that. On the other hand, maybe, yeah, the fact is the wall is moving back and forth, so it means you keep on having an area that was outside the sukkah and now is inside it, so in effect you have a different wall each time, and therefore maybe it would be possible. So the mice say you have some people use the canvas sukkahs without doing anything else to them. And others are machmer, like we're saying, and they put sticks or poles or not poles, they put sticks or ropes or whatever, something like that, around the bottom edges of the sukkah in order to form a wall that way using lavud rather than relying exclusively on the canvas.